You're listening to
Sex Gets Real.
Sex Gets Real.
Sex Gets Real.
Sex Gets Real.
With Dawn Sarah.
With Dawn Sarah.
Thanks. Bye.
Hello, you. Welcome to this week's episode of Sex Gets Real. I am Dawn Sarah, and I have so many things for you this week. The first is, if you haven't heard, please make sure that you head over to patreon.com/sexgetsreal. I have already started to gather some supporters, which makes me feel so excited. And I just recently updated the Patreon with a post that in early March, I am going to be doing a live Q&A / pajama party just for people who pledge at the $3 level or higher. So if you want to join in the fun, then head over to Patreon and check out the different levels and see if you'd like to support the show. The more support I get there, the less I have to shop around for sponsors, which is awesome. Speaking of sponsors, I know that Valentine's Day is right around the corner, and Hotels by Day is generously sponsoring this episode again. They have hotels in Manhattan, Chicago, New Jersey, Philadelphia, Los Angeles, San Francisco, New Orleans, Miami, pretty much all of the major cities in the States. And if you need a discreet day stay for some type of really sexy getaway, or if you just want to treat yourself to kind of getting away from it all so that you can do something creative or delicious like a spa day, drop the kids off with a family member and totally unwind, then Hotels by Day would love to have you. Of course, listeners get 5% off, so make sure you use the code SGR5OFF for Sex Gets Real and enjoy that day stay. I know I have been shopping around for something to surprise Alex with, so keep that in mind. For all of you on the newsletter, you already know that February is a listener confession theme of surprises. So we have our first listener confession for February, and I am going to get to that in just a minute. But I also wanted to let you know, this week's episode is with Elle Chase. And I mentioned a few times in the episode that Elle is the first repeat guest on the show, and that's not true. It was actually Kate McCombs who did her repeat episode just before the new year with Louise Boucher. And I don't know if my brain fizzled just because both of them were there, and so it just didn't occur to me, but Elle is the second person to be on the show two times as a guest, but we have an absolute blast in this episode. There's lots of personal stories and awkward stories and me talking about sex and Elle talking about sex, and I think you're really going to enjoy it. But let's get to that listener confession. So here we go. Hi, Dawn. I'm super nervous about writing into you, but I saw February's theme and I couldn't resist. So here's my story about surprises. When I was 22 years old, I had been in a relationship with my boyfriend for about 5 years. We met in high school, fell in love, and continued seeing each other through college. Just after we graduated from college, we went on a celebratory trip to the Florida Keys. My boyfriend and I had days and nights filled with sex, as you do on a beach getaway. There was wine and celebrating for our entry into adulthood. On the fourth night, he told me to get dressed up and prepare for an epic evening. I put on the one and only nice dress that I'd packed, and he whisked me off to a fancy restaurant. We had always loved the thrill of public sex, so once we were at our table looking at the menu, his hand slipped beneath the table and started teasing my pussy. Eventually, he had to stop because I was getting so flushed, and we enjoyed a wonderful meal. At the end of it, the waiter brought us a dessert, and on the plate, written in chocolate, was the question, "Will you marry me?" My boyfriend got down on one knee in front of the entire restaurant and popped the question, ring in hand. In that moment, I did something that shocked me. I said no. I don't know where it came from, and if I'd taken even a second to think about all the eyes on us, I might have hesitated or even lied, but the no just slipped out. I didn't know what to do, so I hurriedly left the restaurant, and I ran all the way back to our hotel room. I can't even imagine the humiliation he must have felt. My boyfriend finally made it back to our room, and I was crying and apologizing over and over and over again, promising to help pay for the meal, to do anything that I could to make up for what I'd done. But he wasn't mad. He was sad and embarrassed, but the thing that surprised me the most was him saying that he was glad I had said no, if I wasn't completely sure. We ended up having this all-night talk where we shared things we'd never said out loud before. We had sex that defies words. It was so connected and deep and meaningful that there were tears, and it even hurt at points from how exposed we both were. In the morning, he told me he still loved me and that he wanted to continue being in my life even if I wasn't ready to get married, but only if I wanted that too. That was 6 years ago, and we just got engaged, which shocked everyone. But he was really patient with me, and he believed in me. He believed in us. We've had our ups and downs, our betrayals, our experimentation. It wasn't right then, but it sure feels right now. So, surprises. They seem to be around every corner, and I'm looking forward to seeing what's next. Thanks, Kaylee. Oh my God, that was so touching. Thank you so much for writing in with that confession, Kaylee. I love it. I feel like that sets such a beautiful tone for our February theme of surprises and listener confessions. So if any of you want to write in with your confession, you can go to sexgetsreal.com for this episode, and there's a link to the guidelines page so that you can submit your confessions too. And don't forget, if you're on the newsletter, you get advanced notice of what the following month's theme is so that you can start cooking up your own story. Here we go with Elle Chase. Welcome back to the show, Elle.
Thank you. I'm so excited.
So can I tell you, I think that you are the first repeat guest on Sex Gets Real in 3 years.
Get out of town.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm honored.
I know. Honored. Well, our last conversation was so fucking popular and downloaded so much. Yeah. And people loved it. So I'm super excited to have you back because people love you.
Oh my goodness, that's what a nice thing to spend the day thinking about.
I know, right? Thank you. Just how loved you are.
Oh, so nice.
Yeah. Well, we are here today to talk about your brand new book, Curvy Girl Sex, 101 Body Positive Positions to Empower Your Sex Life. But first, I have to make you a little confession.
Oh, what?
Okay. So I know you're still being super delicious, curating hot smut over at ladycheeky.com.
Yes.
And you also know, I don't know if the listeners do, but you also know I've basically had the plague for the past week and yes. have been down and out. And 2 days ago, my sweetie was doing some research for me and sent me an email that I didn't open because I was like, ugh, I'm too tired to look at the research. And like a day later, he goes, did you ever open my email? I was like, well, no, you know, but I'll look at that next time I'm like kind of back at work. He was like, well, there's something else in there for you. And so I opened the email and I scrolled to the bottom and he had sent me 6 super sexy Lady Cheeky links. And so then that inspired some like really, really hot sex last night.
Oh, I'm so glad. That's what it's there for.
I know. It's
oh my
wonderful.
God.
Yes.
This is the best possible story I could hear. This is awesome.
So yeah.
Glad. Oh, bless your heart. Thank you.
You're welcome. So yes, to everybody listening, if you feel like it's been a little while since something super hot happened, please go to ladycheeky.com and pick out some sexy links and send them to your lover or your lovers and see what happens.
That's how it got started, and that seems to be how it goes.
Yep. It is my go-to anytime I need to make something sexy happen.
Oh, so glad.
Yeah. And I'm wondering, I know you were just talking about this off air, but I'd love to just hear a little more about it. You at this point have, I think, tens of thousands of images that you've curated on Lady Cheeky over the years. And yes. I wonder for you, like at any point, does it feel like a chore or does it continue to be something that you just feel fun and feels like a treat whenever you sign in and you get to do it?
It's, you know what? It's a lot like sex. I was thinking about this the other day because there's sometimes, you know, I put everything in a queue and there's only so many, you know, pictures that the queue can take. And if I haven't curated in a while, it'll get down really low. And I'll think, oh God, I've got to, you know, instate the queue. And if I'm in the middle of something, I'll go, oh God, right. I have to do that. But then when I go and do it, it's like, oh my God, why am I not doing this every day? It is so hot. It always leads to an orgasm for me. And it is just so much fun. It is really, it has become a part of who I am, part of my identity, a part of my life. And I really just enjoy it so much.
Oh, it's like your creative sexual outlet.
Yeah, it's my creative sexual outlet, using other people's creative sexual outlets. Putting them together in a pastiche of an artwork, I like to think of it in that highfalutin way.
Well, I don't know what's going to come of it yet, but I hope to someday have something on Lady Cheeky myself because I am going to Madison Young's Erotic Film School in March.
Oh my!
To learn how to become an erotic film director.
Will you tell? First of all, will you tell her I say hello?
We yes.
Sissy together.
Absolutely.
And that I'm so excited you're going to do that. That is something I've always wanted to do. So please, let's talk after you do it. I want to hear all about it.
I totally will. Okay. So let's go and just say, holy shit, you published a book.
I can't fucking believe it.
Right.
I mean, look, it's not Shakespeare, but it will. I finished it.
Yep.
I put it together. You know, I am really proud of myself. I think it's a really good book.
Yay.
Yay.
So how did this come about?
Well, I got a call from the publisher, actually. I was referred to them by Tina Horn and Lauren Marie Fleming because they had gone to them to see if they wanted to write this book. And they were both busy with other projects. And so they came to me and I was like, hell yeah, I'll do that. I've got it basically written already in my head. So that's how we did it. And they were really wonderful to work for. And they let me include a lot of different types of sex. There was a lot of diversity in it for the first time in their publishing history. So there was some groundbreaking things going on, and that was really satisfying and really wonderful people to work with. So it was a great experience all the way around.
So I know that one of the things you said was when they approached you and they're like, so 101 positions, and you were like, holy shit. How do I come up with 101 like body positive, fat friendly positions? And now you're actually like, oh, there's way more.
Yeah. I when I signed the contract, I think I missed the part of 101. And so I was thinking 50 and then 101. And I started panicking. Like I was telling you, I was coming up with doggy style reading a J. Crew catalog,
yeah.
One of the positions. But now that I've done all of the positions at least once, sometimes way more than that because I have favorites, I can see how there would be even more positions for people of size. I could get into it even more deeply and more into the body mechanics of it. So it was really, I learned a lot that way because now I look at a position and I go, oh, no, you want to put your leg there because the gravity is going to work this way and your muscles work this way. And so it really made me excited for people like me who are either fat or curvy or just differently abled or whatever, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
Pregnant women. There are positions for pregnant women.
One of the things I love about the book is that so many of us have internalized the messages about what sexy looks like and what sex looks like. And often when we are in a fat body or a body that's maybe aging or a pregnant body, or maybe we are a person that has some type of disability, it can feel like asking for accommodations is almost like admitting that we're not sexy, right? Oh, yeah. And so one of the things that I love about this book is, well, first of all, that it's like trans inclusive and you talk about all kinds of sex ed stuff. So we'll get into that in a minute. But you know, that you're using these fun images and these fun names. And of course, your amazing just like personality and sense of humor to make it normal and okay and fun and sexy to be like, hey, I have a tummy, or I have really big thighs, or I have a huge ass. And so like this type of a position I'm going to see in Cosmo won't work for me. But here's something that could, and it's like an invitation rather than like a shame on you for not being able to.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I'm glad you brought that up because as a fat girl, it's always felt like having to make an accommodation and sort of just saying, hi, yeah, well, we can't do doggy style because I have really bad knees. Mm-hmm. And also, if I put my chest down to the bed in doggy style, I have a hard time breathing.
Yes.
You know, it makes you feel really unsexy. Mm-hmm. And just to know walking into it that you have a bag of tricks where you don't even have to ask. You just go, oh, want to do doggy style? Great. Let me grab the Liberator. Let me grab some pillows or whatever. And it's taking ownership of what you need to do in order to have, astounding pleasure in your body. And it's also something that is pre-set up in your mind from society, right? It's like, if you don't look like this, then everything else you have to do to accommodate yourself, regardless of what you look like, is not going to be as special or as wanted, say, as something else. So going in with a bag of tricks, going in knowing that you can have this with 101 positions, knowing that you can do that, I think is really is freeing and permission giving. Mm-hmm. I think also another thing is something I hope to have put forth into the book is asking people to get a sense of, you know what, this is sex. It's not life or death. This is sex. It's supposed to be fun. And the person I'm with wants to be with me. And being able to, if it's slow, that's fine. But be able to put that critical part of ourselves on the back burner for just an hour or 2 hours or even 30 minutes or 10 minutes, depending on what you're doing.
Right.
But just making a deal with yourself and just say, you can think about this all you want afterwards. Mm-hmm. But right now, we're not going to think about this.
Yeah.
Just making some sort of accommodation and being kind to yourself. That is the biggest, most important thing you could possibly do, regardless of any position, anywhere, is being kind to yourself.
Yeah, it's really interesting because actually last night during the Super Sexy, when I happened to get spanked with a Pampered Chef spoon.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Pervertible. Right. One of the things that he asked me to do was I was on all fours and he said, put your hands between your legs. I want to tie your wrists to your ankles so that, I would have been like face down on the ground with my ass up and my arms between my legs. And I had tried that before a couple of years ago with a kinky partner, and I had a massive panic attack because I couldn't breathe. And I felt so much shame around that back then. And last night when it happened, I thought, well, I'll give it a try. And he had put a pillow under like my neck and my shoulders. And so I got down into the position and I was okay there. But when he went to do the rope, I said, I think I'm going to freak out if you add the rope. I need to be able to get out of this because it's a little tough for me. Yeah. And for like 45 seconds, I felt terrible. I felt like, ugh, my body, it's not doing this thing that would be so sexy that I want it to do. And then I kind of decided like, I can worry about that later. Right now I'm naked with my ass in the air and something fun's about to happen. So let's just see what happens.
Yes.
And then we ended up having like this super, super hot sex and I didn't stay in it for very long, but then like he pinned me down on the sofa with my ass in the air and it was still super hot. And so, even just like allowing that I can still have that moment of just like, oh, I wish my body could do this thing, but how about I just let that thing go for right now instead of sitting in it, and then it just totally ruins the entire night, right? Yeah. So I think that's one of the things too, like when you're in a body of any shape or any size, you know, like I don't care how thin you are, there's just going to be certain things you want to do and you can't, you know, like giving ourselves the permission to like, we might for just a half a second feel shitty about it, but learning how to just kind of like, eh, there's something else that's funner going on right now. So mm-hmm. I'm just going to teach myself to focus on the fun mm-hmm. and move on. And so, yeah, I love that permission.
Yeah, I'm really, really glad that you brought that up. Thank you for sharing that, because that is, it is so important that when you're trying new things, and like you said, you can be thin, it doesn't matter what you look like. There's also always going to be something that you don't like about yourself that you're going to focus on mm-hmm. in the moment, no matter what you look like. And being able to get rid of that to a certain extent, or try as hard as you can, at least to replace it with something fun's about to happen, will really, really open up your eyes in a different way about your body, about how you feel about your body, about how sexy you are and how much your partner finds you sexy. Mm-hmm. I had an experience recently. I've never been the most kinky person in the world, but my partner is. And he, you know, we have a great deal of trust between us. And one night he wanted to collar me and tie me up. And it wasn't something that appealed to me, but I didn't see anything wrong with it. So I said, sure, fine, go right ahead, mm-hmm. you know? And it turned out to be some of the hottest sex I've ever had. But in between that, he tied me up and, you know, gagged me and collared me and did all of that stuff. And then he started taking pictures and video of me with my phone. And he's like, you've got to look at this. It's so hot. It's so hot. And I went, I'm not sure how I'm going to feel about that. I don't really want to look at it. And he's like, no, come look, come look. And I looked at it, and it was not how I wanted to look. When I looked at my pictures, it was mm-hmm. not how I envisioned myself looking in that moment when I was having such a good time. And in the past, it would have taken me out of the entire weekend we were together. It would have taken me weeks to get over. I still may not be over it, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But instead, I looked at him and I said, you know what? I'm having a reaction to this. I need to process it before we can do anything else. And so instead of 6 weeks or six, you know, days, it took me 6 hours. And I was able to go throughout the rest of the day and then go into the evening and have some more wonderful sex. So my point about telling this story is that there will always be something that we're not sure about. And obviously, everything should be consensual. I mean, I don't think I should have to say that, but sadly, I do. Everything should be consensual, and you should never do anything you don't want to do. But if you want to do it, but you're a little bit apprehensive, feel into it and see if it's something that you feel that you can trust your partner with and that they'll stop if you say stop. And see if you can do it as an exercise to get that feeling of unsexiness or fear of what you look like out mm-hmm. of your mind, so that you can enjoy the actual, you know, new sensation that you're about to have. Does that make sense?
Well, I'm just like, I had that exact same experience mm-hmm. a couple of years ago with that same kinky partner who wanted to tie me up with my face down on the bed, right? He also took pictures of me hogtied. And then the next morning, I was like getting out of bed and I was stretching, and he snuck a picture of me from behind. I remember he showed it to me and he was like, you look so glorious. Like you look radiant this morning. And he was really genuinely proud of that picture of me. And when I looked at the picture, I felt horror. Of just yeah. like, oh my God, like my rolls are that big. My ass is mm-hmm. that wide, you know? And like, I had this moment of dissonance where I was having this really negative reaction and he was genuinely offering this like really powerful compliment. He was so proud of the picture that he had snapped yeah. and giving myself a chance to just kind of see it through his eyes. Yeah. It was so hard, but yes. I look at that picture now and I have very different feelings. And, you know, it's been 4 years, but I remember in that moment, this like terrible war happening mm-hmm. and and just like, maybe I can just try and see what he sees. And then realizing that like, maybe there is something really gorgeous about my hair, and maybe there's something really gorgeous about my skin and how smooth it looks. And so, you know, just kind of like trying to create a little distance between that like knee-jerk reaction that I've been trained to have about my fat body and the reaction that's coming from somebody else and how they appreciate it. So I love that you had that experience, because I was
I love that you had that experience and that we're sharing that right now. I think it is something that many people, more people than we care to admit, have at some point. And part of what got me out in 6 hours was how sincerely effusive he was about how turned on he was looking at me in that way, and having those pictures and watching the porn of us together. And he really genuinely was turned on by the way I looked. And so this is what I say in my classes and to clients, is what you think of yourself is none of your business. You know?
Yeah.
There's a great book by that title too, and it has to do with the same thing. But it is what you think of yourself is none of your business, and it is there as a construct from your whole life of growing up and taking in different comments from people who didn't necessarily have your best interest at heart.
Well, I would love to circle back to the book. One of the things I just want to say is you have these wonderful little icons throughout the book that help people decide what positions might work better for them. And I just want to share a couple of them. You've got an icon for strap-on friendly, which is so fun and inclusive. You have ones for larger tummies, for larger thighs, for pregnant women, for positions that are easier on the back or on the knees, if you have a large partner. I love that gives people the opportunity to kind of like, well, okay, I have a larger tummy, so maybe this one would be better for me.
Yeah.
And actually finding what does work with your body versus like, oh, that won't work for my body.
I had that idea because as I was coming up with these positions, I was like, well, you know, I have a big tummy and a big ass and big thighs, right? And, you know, this wouldn't be so comfortable for my, you know, for my tummy being squished in this position, but it's fine for my ass and my thighs. And then it sort of dawned on me, because I also have bad knees and a bad back, you know, why not do a key so that people who have one or many of these issues can sort of flip through and recognize the colors of the keys and be able to tell which ones they should start first and which ones they need to work through. And the same with pregnant women. You know, pregnant women is a different body shape, but it's not mushy. The stomach isn't mushy. It's hard. There's a human being in there. So you want to be careful to make accommodations for that particular thing as well. So I'm glad you found that useful and inclusive, because that was the design.
So something else I love is what I wish someone had told me about sex as a fat chick. Your points about what you wish someone would have told you. And I'd love to know, what is just one of your favorite things that you really wish someone would have told you long ago to have saved you some time or some suffering?
Oh my God. I think the big one for me when I started becoming really sexually active was sex is inelegant at best. And it is not something, it is absolutely nothing like what you see in movies and television, except that, you know, peg A goes into slot B, whatever slot B that is. And, I mean, when I got married at 33, I didn't understand why my husband handed me a towel after we had sex. Like, I didn't understand why that was a necessity. And for me at 33, not to know that made me sad, because I felt like, what else don't I know? And turns out it was quite a lot. but what else don't I know? And why was this never told to me? Mm-hmm. What's wrong with this? It's the bodily function. There's cum that's coming out of my vagina now. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the mechanics of it, the you know, the less than attractive, what some people might call unseemly, you know, farting during sex, queefing, you know, going out here on my hair, getting poked in the eye, you know, all those kinds of things, and having to negotiate positions mm-hmm. instead of just getting into the position immediately. So, okay, I need you to do this and this. Okay, but if you do that, then my leg's going to hurt. So why don't I put – I mean, there's negotiation that has to yeah. happen. So I think I grew up a little bit naive in that way. So I would have liked someone to have explained to me all the inelegancies. I don't know how to say that word. I don't think it is a word.
We'll just make it up.
Make it a word. Inelegancies of sex in general. And as far as being like a fat chick, I wasn't fat my entire life. I started getting larger in my 30s when I hit 30. And I think that I always just thought, no, there's no one who's ever going to want to have sex with me because I'm not thin.
Yeah.
And that's just patently untrue.
Yeah. So. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, going back to the inelegance of sex, I want more of us to really embrace that yeah. truth that, you know, sex can be transformative. It can be emotional, it can be heartbreaking, it can be beautiful, and it can be spiritual, you know, yes. but like at the same yeah. time, their sweat might drop in your eye and, right. you know, like you're going to bump things and you're right. Like there's going to be weird noises. And I feel like one of the worst crimes of us not talking about how this can just be really messy and clumsy and weird is that then yeah. we all have this fear of ruining the mood, in quotes.
And shame, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And when, in fact, if we're able to easily and unapologetically articulate like, oh, hey, actually, my knee's really bothering me today, so can we do this other position? And you just seamlessly yeah. kind of move into the other position, and then you end up feeling really good because your body isn't hurting versus, mm-hmm. you know, I think so many of us are like, oh, well, if I say I have to pee, or if I say that hurts my knee, it's going to ruin the mood, and I don't want to ruin the mood, so I'm just going to grit my teeth through the knee mm-hmm. pain. And yes. now I'm not having a good time, which translates to my partner, who we're yeah. assuming most of our partners care about our experience, you know? And so it's kind of right. like, I wish that we could more easily embrace that. It doesn't have to be about elegance, and it doesn't have to be about being clean or quiet. It's about being super real and still finding our pleasure in that.
Yes, I 110% agree. So it's about, you know, there's doggy style, right? And not everybody is comfortable being the receiver in doggy style for a multitude of different reasons. But for people with a uterus and a cervix and a vagina, it's even more prevalent that that could be uncomfortable because the cervix, the uterus tilts. Mm-hmm. And the cervix tilts throughout the month, throughout the cycle. So I used to sit there and I used to just take it from behind, even though it was incredibly painful, and just go, well, you know, this is just the way doggy style is, yeah. and not wanting to rock the boat. Until I finally said to my partner, you know what, doggy style is not so comfortable for me. We could try it again, but I have a feeling it's because of where I am on my cycle. And they're like, oh, okay. You know, they really don't care.
Yeah.
You know, and you have a much better time. Plus, you have this feeling of that you have agency over your own body.
Yes.
Which is empowering as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And there's just so much there. And then yeah. also just going back to your nobody's going to want me because I'm in a fat body. Some of the most common questions I get from men is, I have a small penis, nobody's going to want to have sex with me. Right. And I think that so many of these same principles around fat bodies or having a disability or having a small penis or whatever it is, like anytime you're outside of what's been prescribed to us as sexy, we feel like no one will ever want us. And or I think the more dangerous thing is because we feel like we're not very wanted, that when someone does finally want us, we feel like we should feel grateful for that.
Yes. And to hop on the opportunity, no pun intended.
Right. Exactly. And so then we tolerate bad behaviors and we tolerate abuse and we tolerate people who aren't really truly delighted in us mm-hmm. because we feel like we're not going to find someone else. Right.
Right.
And so, yeah. And I think that's some of the beauty of your book is redefining what is sexy and inviting conversations about fantasies and incorporating things like liberator wedges and pillows so that, you know, positions feel better and doing all of that, knowing that you're sexy, whether you ask for the liberator wedge or not.
Right. And knowing too, and really getting, really understanding that regardless of what anybody looks like, we're all attracted to different things at different times in our life. Mm-hmm. If you think about whoever you've dated or slept with or been married to or whatever, does everybody look the same? I mean, I know my past partners don't look anything alike.
Yeah.
You know, and it's always something about them and about how we meet and the chemistry, that unquantifiable thing that draws us together. And I think that is what should be focused on more than what someone looks like. I remember dating someone who said, you know, he was married. Whoops. And his wife was very athletic and thin and didn't have an ounce of fat in her body and blonde and everything I'm not. And we were having this affair and I did not look anything like that. And I said, so what's the deal? And he said, you know, you could give me a 400-pound woman with a sense of her sexuality versus a supermodel without her sense of her sexuality, and I'll take the 400-pound woman every single time. Mm. And that also speaks to knowing your own sexuality and being okay with your sex drive, what you like sexually, that you are, that it's inherent inside you, and that it is yours. It is something that everybody has that is their gift for pleasure. So instead of saying, hey, you know, fat women are sexy. Well, you know, not all fat women are sexy. Not all thin women are sexy. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, to you, to that person over there, to the guy who's bagging my groceries, you know, but they are sexy to somebody, and not just one person, like a bunch of people.
Yeah.
So I may not be, you know, my neighbor's cup of tea, but down the street there's somebody who's just aching for me to talk to them. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So somehow we all get together. It's a miracle we all just get together anyway, just in general. But, you know, somehow that all seems to work out. So the same problems that I have dating are the exact same problems that everybody else has dating. Yeah. They're no different because I'm fat.
Yeah. Well, I know that one of the things you said you've been geeking out about, thinking about lately is mutual masturbation and also getting off on giving pleasure to our partners. And I think that there's a lot of stigma around mutual masturbation in that it's kind of like a lead up to sex, or it's something you do if you're not engaging in intercourse, and that mutual masturbation isn't real sex. And so I'd love to just like talk to you a little bit about like the beauty and the juiciness and frankly, sometimes the relief that is mutual masturbation.
Yes. It is all those things and so much more.
Yeah.
I love mutual masturbation because it's something I don't think that people really think about. I think it's something that people will default to sometimes when they're too tired or when they're not ready to have penetrative sex. But mutual masturbation, the reason why I don't think people talk about it so much is that masturbation is such a private act. You know, we sort of learned it in secret and we kept it secret, and it's just sort of assumed that people do it, but it's never talked about. And I think especially for women, I don't think we talk about masturbation as often as men do. And I think that has a lot to do with the fact that men grow up touching their penises. You know, they have to pee, so they hold their penis to pee. And women are told that it's dirty down there and you need to wipe it and keep it clean.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I think that the idea can start with it being slightly taboo, doing it with your partner, you know? And there are different ways to do it. You can both masturbate while you watch each other. You can masturbate each other. You can watch someone do it while you just egg them on. There are all these different ways to do it. And I think because it is such a private act that you're sharing with somebody, whether you've known someone for 5 minutes or 5 years, it builds an intimacy that perhaps wasn't there before. Mm-hmm. You're sharing something that is so private that you don't share with people because you do it on your own. Yeah. And it's not something you, you know, share with a group unless you share it with a group. In a very private away, you know?
Right.
So I think it's a great tool for intimacy. And it's a great way to explore, if you slow it down in that tantric way, explore your partner's body and see what kind of touch drives them wild, or how their bodies react when you touch them in a certain way, instead of rushing through it. I think you get to see your partner's arousal process a little bit more clearly, especially if you're concentrating on their breathing and how they're moving and the involuntary movements of their body or their skin or whatever. I think it is also a great main event. You know, some of the best sex in the world doesn't have to do with penis and vagina sex.
Right.
Some of the best sex in the world is the connection, and also other things you can do with your mouth and your hands. And this also comes down to penis size for men and or people with penises, is that, you know, sometimes they worry that they're not thick enough or long enough to give pleasure. And it's, you know, you say it's not size of the pencil, it's how you sign your name, you know?
Yeah.
It's how you use that, and can get a variety, especially with 101 positions. I can come up with 101 positions. Especially with different ways you can place your body for different sensations. I think all the time, regardless of penis size, you can get different sensations. But I'm drifting off the point.
Yeah, I recently did some really enjoyable mutual masturbation where I was actually I was doing research. My job is so hard. I was doing research. Yeah, yeah, I was getting ready to interview Erica Lust. And
oh, love her.
Oh my God, I know. And I know. So I was like, well, I have to watch all her porn. And so, yes. Of course. And I had purchased a couple of her sets. And so I was genuinely just like looking at it for the aesthetic and how it was filmed, and then like starting to get kind of turned on. And then like my partner came up behind me and he was like, well, that looks hot. And I was like, actually, it is hot. And so then we kind of started watching it, and he was rubbing my shoulders. And then it turned into this thing where we were both watching it, touching ourselves, and it was really hot, and we were like pressed against each other but touching ourselves. And then like I started touching him, and I just used my hand on him, and like that was the whole thing. But it felt like so hot and connected and fun, and you know, like I felt amazing in my body. And I want more of us to leave space for those kinds of experiences to be legitimate, erotic, fulfilling sexual experiences.
They are on their very own.
Yes.
They are these legitimate sexual experiences. That is, you know, if you have sex once a week and that's the sex you have, I'll take it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Totally.
Yeah.
Well, I know one of the things that you're most proud of in Curvy Girl Sex is the opportunity to do some sex education. And it's not just a positions book. It's a book where you talk about the vulva and the anatomy of a vulva. You talk about the internal structure of the clitoris. You talk about the importance of arousal and building in time for arousal. Mm-hmm. And so I'd love to hear a little bit about kind of some of your favorite things that you included in the book and why you feel like they're so important.
Thanks. I think one of my favorite chapters is really about arousal and pleasure anatomy. And, you know, we can all say that we took anatomy in high school or whatever, but I sincerely doubt anyone has told you how the anatomy works in regard to giving oneself pleasure. Mm-hmm. I think spelling that out for people who are about to go on a sexual journey is really important, because the arousal process, especially for vaginas, is very, very, very important. Dare I say essential. There are people who are have been sort of plagued with dry vaginas who extend their foreplay and their arousal process by double, say, and they are no longer dry. They just need more time to get, you know, lubricated.
Yeah.
And I think that says a lot about our bodies. You know, some bodies take 2 minutes, some bodies take 20 minutes, some bodies take an hour. Who knows? But I think giving ourselves the permission to arouse those parts of our bodies that are there to give us pleasure is a really important thing to focus on. Knowing how it works, knowing why you might be feeling sensation in your outer labia, for instance, and maybe you have a conversation with your girlfriend and she doesn't have those same sensations, and knowing that it's fine, that you're both quote unquote normal, because we're all built differently. Knowing that it's okay not to get excited when your G-spot is stimulated.
Yeah.
That there's nothing wrong with you. That if your G-spot, it feels great being stimulated, how do you take advantage of that in the moment? Just sort of understanding and being given permission that you don't have to have an orgasm to have a wonderful night of carnal pleasure and delight.
Yeah.
But I think explaining that was really fulfilling for me as a sex educator, knowing that it's there for people who need it, and it's there as a reminder for people who may have already learned it. Does that make sense?
Totally. One of the things that I've noticed as a sex educator is that a lot of people actually really know a lot of things, but they have trouble remembering it and applying it in the moment.
Yes.
You know, and so we may understand that the clitoris actually has this enormous internal structure, but in the moment, when we don't want to feel awkward, when we don't want to take too long, when we don't know how to quite ask our partner to do something a little different because they're not hitting the right spot, we don't really apply that knowledge and have those conversations. And instead we just kind of like tolerate it or we move through it. And so I think one of the powerful things about like reiterating this information in thousands of different ways is the way that I say something about anatomy and arousal and the way you say it are different. And so at some point it's going to really truly click and make someone go, oh God, that's the permission I needed. That is the way I needed to hear it so that I don't feel guilty about how long it takes me to feel in the mood and all those kinds of things. And so I love that this is just another opportunity and another tool for people to be able to get that permission and to gain that knowledge, and also to just be able to, I mean, you have like these fun cartoons throughout the entire book. So how fun to be able to share this with a partner or a lover and have conversations, right?
And also there's a part in the book too that talks about porn and feminist porn and using that as an arousal tool. And I wanted to sort of take the stigma off of that for women in general, that yeah, it's for you too. You know, you can also look at porn with your partner and get aroused. And there's porn out there that may not be the taste of, you know, the five guys that you meet on the bus, but it's your taste, you know? And how bonding and how close you can get with your partner when you watch that, or how much you can learn about yourself when you go to sites like LadyCheeky.com.
Yeah.
A plug. But yeah, no, I agree with you.
So just to make sure everybody knows, this book is beautifully inclusive. So you not only do some education around trans bodies, but the images are also presented as mixed gender. So there's some of the images of people in positions are two people who present as female, and some of the positions are a person who presents as female and a person who presents as male. And so there's strap-on positions, and I love that you've made this accessible to people who are all different genders, all different bodies, all different sexualities, so that everyone can feel something in there that feels like safe for them to be like, oh, okay, maybe this is for me. So now that you have written a book and been through that birthing process, is there something else you'd love to tackle in book form at some point? Like something that you just are like, oh God, that's a book I'd love to write now that you've been through it? Or having been through this, are you like, eh, I think I need some time?
No, actually, I've already started. I've had this class called Big Beautiful Sex for a long time, and it's more anecdotal than it is practical. And I'm writing the book version of that, which are more practical exercises of how to get out of your head, how to start accepting your body so that you can be a vehicle for pleasure, for your own pleasure. So I've started writing that. I'm about half done. So we'll see if I finish it soon. But I'm doing that, and I've got ideas for other books as well. So I'll probably continue to write until I get sick and tired of it.
That's exciting. I know. Yeah. I've talked to a couple of people who are like, oh, I love writing so much. I want to write more books. And then I've talked to a couple of people who are like, that was so painful. I could go 10 years without another one.
Yeah, I don't enjoy the process of writing, but I enjoy the end results, and I enjoy preparing for writing. So,
from your class and from the book, what do you think is the number one tool that you love incorporating for making sex more accessible to larger bodies?
Well, I think that, well, two things. One is practical and one is more internal. Mm-hmm. And the first practical part is getting a liberator wedge or some very firm pillows. I think that regardless of your size, these are terrific for everybody to be able to manipulate your body into different positions. Using the industrial strength foam of the liberator wedges and or, you know, the very strong pillows like cushions from your couch or something to prop up pelvises so that your genitals are wide open for entry or whatever. I'm being inelegant, as you can see. But the other thing, too, I think is more important than any of those is no negative self-talk. If you can do one thing, it would be to help yourself banish the negative self-talk and replace it with something else that you believe. Mm-hmm. Because that is the number one thing that's going to get in the way of your pleasure.
Yep.
is telling yourself bad things and treating yourself with disrespect. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can't help it because it's been programmed in since you were little.
Yeah.
But noticing that you're having it and then letting it go and replacing it with something else is the key. Until you don't have those negative thoughts anymore, God willing. I still have them, so who knows. But the negative thoughts, being mindful in your practice of sex, because it is a practice, and being mindful to be in the moment, which sounds very woo-woo and unattainable, but it is attainable. And though it might be woo-woo, it works. just like a cliche.
Yeah.
So no negative self-talk in pillows.
I am a fan of the pillows and the propping up of things.
Yes.
And the propping open of things. And yes. The negative self-talk. I mean, I think regardless of what it is that you beat yourself up about, whether it's, you know, the way your genitals look or your tummy or I have tits that are super uneven. So like one is like a triple D and one is like just barely a D. And so they're actually like quite different. And I used to feel super self-conscious about that they like hung at different sizes and they swung at different sizes if I was like in doggy, so I would never get on all fours. Yeah. And now for me, I've replaced that with like, there they go again. And it's just kind of like, you know, but like giving myself permission, I still all the time, every day have thoughts where I'm like, oh God, that thing, I wish it was thinner. Or I wish my tummy looked different. And just letting myself let that thought go.
Yes.
You know, and you're so right. Like that's a practice. It's a conscious practice that means that you fail most of the time.
Yeah. And you know, like, you've had your whole life to come up with these responses to your feelings. You've had your whole life of saying, I hate you. It's going to take some time to replace that with something else.
Yeah.
And it will still come back every once in a while. But you will be amazed. I know that I had someone in one of my classes once who was just really in a bad state. Just broken up with somebody and was really in a bad state and just kept saying, well, yeah, you know, if it was that easy to, you know, stop my negative self-talk, then I would do it and I'd be fine. I'm like, no, it's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm just saying that it's a practice and that you really have to be diligent, just like any other practice.
Yeah.
You have to be diligent about it because that's really what's going to set you free.
Yeah. Oh, I love it so much. I want everyone to go out and buy Curvy Girl Sex, support Elle, support sex positive books. Also be sure to pick up the super amazing coloring books.
Oh, yes.
That your
gvibe.com.
Yep. Those are some adult ass coloring books.
Yes. And there's a curvy coloring too. So
well,
if you're curvy and and you want to see yourself in some very salacious and carnal positions. And colors them in at the same time.
Yeah.
You want to go to SheVibe, SheVibe.com to get those.
Yeah. And of course, head to Lady Cheeky if you need super sexy gifts and pictures to send to somebody to get them turned on and seduce them, because that's what I do. Well, Elle, I would love it if you would share with everybody how they can get the book and also stay in touch with you and follow along with all your adventures and classes.
Oh, thank you. Yes, you can buy the book wherever books are sold, online at least. Target, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Walmart, all of those places carry my book online. And I assume it will be in many bookstores. I would call your local bookstore and see if they'll order it, if they don't already have it. And for everything else, ellechase.com, ellechase.com is my website. And on the social media, I'm the Elle Chase.
Nice. So yeah. I will have links to the book. I will have links to the SheVibe coloring books. I will have links to your website and all of your social media on sexgetsreal.com for this episode, because I want everyone to check it out and buy the things and support you and follow you.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I just want to thank you for coming back on the show and for this like super fun and engaging chat and for being my first second-time guest.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. I'm certainly honored, and I always love doing your show. Ugh. I love it, love it, love it.
Yeah. Oh, my God. We just have so much fun. So
we do.
Yeah. Well, to everybody who's listening, please be sure to head to sexgetsreal.com so you can check out Elle's book. Also, make sure you're on the newsletter so that you can get updates about what's coming up next, and you can also find out what the theme for this month's Listener Confessions is. Of course, if you have questions or comments for me about this episode or anything that you'd like to share with me for future episodes, you can use the contact form. And don't forget, Sex Gets Real is now on Patreon, so if you love the show, you can do as little as a dollar a month to help me keep this going. So please go to patreon.com/sexgetsreal. I would love to see you there. Thank you so much. And until next time, this is Dawn Sarah. Bye.